Welcome to the Paint to Power podcast, where we have engaging, informed and interesting conversations on topics including women's health, the menstrual cycle, chronic pain, trauma, the nervous system, relationships and feminism. I'm Lisa Dion. I'm a women's health coach, facilitator and educator, supporting you on your journey of healing, recovery and moving into a place of personal power in your body and in your life. So hi everyone, welcome to the next episode of From Pain to Power with Lisa DeYoung. And I'm really excited for this conversation today. I have a new friend with me, Aoife McCormack. And Aoife is a healer and mind and body coach working with sensitive women. And Aoife approached me recently enough on social media. So we've connected only recently and our work both really, really aligns. We're both working with chronic pain, with women, with sensitivity. And Aoife's approach is so interesting because she talks a lot about the mind-body connection. And then she has her own journey with healing pain. So you're very welcome, Aoife. Thank you so much for connecting with me. It's so lovely to get to know you and your work. How are you doing today? And I'd love for you to introduce yourself.
Yeah, it's so exciting to be here. It's so nice to be speaking to an Irish woman. So yeah, my name is Aoife and I am a mind body coach and I help, like you said, highly sensitive women to heal from. I teach women how to heal themselves from chronic pain, chronic illness, anxiety and depression. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everything I teach comes from really my own direct experience. I was sick as a child. I was chronically ill for a long time. But so I had a long journey with it all. But I had diagnoses like fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome. I could barely eat any food, gluten-free, dairy-free. I had seriously awful period pain. I had carpal tunnel syndrome. I just had these endless diagnoses. And everything was unexplained. It was like I just had all these syndromes. I was like unexplained since I was a child. So it was a really lonely, really frustrating journey for a long time until what I'll share with you guys today, just finding this missing piece of the puzzle, which I describe as like the biology of stress, like really just this missing link. It's quite simple. So I just love sharing these tools and this new information because it was just new information. It fell into my lap. Found it through Instagram. And since then, everything has been healing and changing physically, mentally, emotionally. So yeah.
Wow. So you've been on a journey.
Certainly.
Oh my God. I love that term, the biology of stress. What do you mean by that exactly?
Yeah. So when I was sick as a child, no one was saying this kid is stressed. But as I got older and I was getting more of these diagnoses and I was anxious all the time and I was having a lot of serious depression. People started saying, like, do you think you're stressed? And I was really triggered by this because I already had a strong committed meditation practice. I had done psychoanalysis, psychotherapy. I had done so much inner work. And the people who were saying this to me hadn't done as much inner work as I did. So I was like really triggered, like, how dare you? You go do therapy, like, you know.
Yeah.
But there was a missing piece. And I love biology. And I'd studied anatomy and physiology. So for me, when I heard the biology of stress, how the nervous system is connected to every nerve fiber in your body, your skin, the biggest organ in your body, you know, because I used to have acne, is connected to the nervous system, your pain center in your brain, like how you feel pain is in your brain. And just in these 5 minutes, everything started to land. And I realized I was stressed. I was in a chronic state of stress, but it wasn't the stress that people talked about, like traffic stress, work stress, financial stress, all these things that were still happening in my life. But it was like this deeper chronic like stress that was happening in my body. And so for me, and instead of having instead of having a million different diagnoses and a million different problems with a million different solutions, like acupuncture for this and, you know, herbs for this and medication for this and a gynecologist for that and a dermatologist for that, I suddenly only had one problem. And that immediately made me feel better than I had felt in my whole life, even though I still had all the same symptoms and I was in the same position as I was 5 minutes earlier. But I suddenly felt like the weight had been lifted. Like I'm not this like weird, broken, complicated case, because every doctor I ever went to said I was a complicated case. Every healer I ever went to said I was a complicated case. I was diagnosed as mystery girl. So I was like carrying around this burden and this label, all these different labels. And suddenly I was like, this is not a big deal. I actually just have a stress problem and I can change that.
Wow, Aoife. Like, it really reminds me of my own journey as well and how expensive that was. Like, to put it bluntly, right? You say this doctor for that, this practitioner for this, you know, this whatever, for all of the different things. I was the same. I had, like, at one point in my journey, I had a herbalist, a shamanic healer, like yoga classes, acupuncture, a psychotherapist, a GP, a gynae. Yeah, all of the stuff. And yeah, they were all really helpful. They were, and they did play a part, except for the herbs. I never really responded to herbs. I'm not testing herbs, and I think they're great and all, but it didn't like meet its promise, you know? And I remember then as well, I got to this point on my path where I made a list of all of the different practices I was doing. And I realized that I was giving myself a hard time for not doing them perfectly. And like, you know, and how overwhelming it was to have this insane list of like self-care practices to get through every day or every month, you know. And then it was like all this self-blame about like, oh, if I don't do this one thing, then that's why I have pain, you know. And then I realized, the same as you, I realized this is the problem. Like, you're overburdened. You're not complicated. So that's so interesting to hear your story. It sounds like you had a very similar realization.
Totally. And so many things you said there, right? So also, like, I'm not dissing like acupuncture, herbs, like potions, lotions. I'm a witch, you know, I love all these things, but they're not getting at the root of things. They're they can help to move energy. They can help strengthen the skin, they can help things, but they're not getting to the root. And that's why you'll end up with a really long bill and also a very busy schedule, right? I was like 9 a.m. take the zinc, 10 a.m. the breath with the meditation, you know. And same, I had it all logged and I was like, oh, I only took 2 zinc yesterday and I was in pain. Okay, it's 3.5 zinc. And then it's the breath work at 2 p.m. and it's the gluten-free bread at 12 p.m. And it was just like, whoa. And the thing is that every time you take a step in that direction, when you're trying so hard to heal, you're taking a step away from your joy and your soul and your your playfulness, your flexibility. And the whole thing about when your nervous system is dysregulated, you're in a contraction and you're very rigid. So you take that rigidity into like this kind of like, you know, I got into this real militant kind of way of living and healing, and I wasn't getting any better, obviously, sane like that. But yeah, it just took me. I stopped dancing. I stopped partying. I stopped seeing my friends. I stopped eating food, like normal food. I was scared of oils in.
Oh, the processed oils, the vegetable oils in the soy milk.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, oh my God, I can't. And then I'm scared of the wax on fruit. And I didn't know. I was scared of everything. And I was sitting in my room alone and miserable and terrified, thinking that I was on a path to healing and that one day this path I would eventually get, it would build me up to be strong enough to be able to like participate again in life, but it never happened.
No, I totally can relate to that, and I see that in the industry and in my own work as well, like the fear of pain, the fear of doing it wrong, perfectionism for wellness, you know, not good enough wellness, you know, all that stuff. And I was exactly the same as you, like I'm really afraid of, you know, ingesting a paraben through my skin, like, you know, like madness. And I do appreciate the information that's out there. yeah, just afraid of like toothpaste and nail varnish and things I liked, you know, like things that like, I do think it was helpful to learn that, yeah, there's certain toxins that we can reduce in our environments, in our bodies, you know, and just be mindful of those things. But when we go into that other extreme of trying to avoid everything and afraid of everything, like you say, that's another dysregulation for the nervous system, right? And it's also not a good way to live. So I'm curious, like for yourself and in your own practice, Aoife, like where do you support people on that journey? How do you find, help people and yourself find the middle ground?
Yeah, so I guess I found a way for myself, like I couldn't eat gluten, sugar, dairy, like all these things were causing me serious flare-ups of like full body pain and insomnia and anxiety. So I found a way of basically deactivating, just say, all of these different symptoms. You know, I said I thought I had, you know, I had a million different symptoms. I found a way of just these, using these simple tools that can deactivate the symptom, boost people's, boost my own confidence. I had to rewrite my story, right? Because I had a very sad story. Sick child, you know, I had a lot of friends and a lot of fun throughout my life, but, you know, sick child and like just so many things, and then chronic illness and like depression and so many failed attempts at relationships and careers and life and my parents were like my carers. I'm in my early 30s, you know, it was, there was so much shame, so much shame and so much low self-esteem, and so I really had to find a way of rewriting my story. And for me, I had done a lot of like the trauma work, but it got to a point where I was like, you know, I got in this session with someone, a beautiful coach that I know, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. I can't talk about when I was 10 years old and I was bullied and that same, you know, fight I've been having with my parents. And I can't do this anymore. I can't. I'm just upset thinking about it. It's not making me any stronger, because I believed that I could like dig around in the past enough. I could like, I could change the past or whatever. So, but what I realized is I just actually had to change the story I had about myself. I didn't realize that I had was like so resilient, that I had lived all this time. There was times I wanted to die and I didn't. And I kept searching and I searched the globe for answers. And I, when I didn't find them, I kept looking, you know, I was like, wow, I'm really resilient. And then, you know, I realized that I was really resourceful. I had like, you know, I had to go on disability. I was, had tried so hard to make, you know, generate finances for myself despite being so sick. I was really resourceful. I just started realizing, I used this kind of this tool that I do with my clients. I call it remember who you are. It's like you forget, you completely forget who you are when you're living through this lens of shame and guilt, and then you're sick and people around you are worried. They're kind of fighting with you and you're fighting with them and nothing's working out. It just all gets so compounded and so dysregulated when you see yourself in this like dark kind of way. And I remember I was just bawling, crying, because I had this big release. I was just like, oh my God, I'm so proud of myself. Like I traveled to Australia. I was so sick. I went there on my own and I made friends and I started to have these aha moments about myself. And it's not like I was like positive affirmationing or like faking it till I fake it till you make it. I was just starting to genuinely see myself from a different perspective. And I was genuinely starting to see a different story, and that helped me my body and my confidence to, you know, I felt more regulated, felt more capable. I was like, well, if I can do that, then, you know, what, let's see what else I can do.
So it sounds like you kind of you came to that place where you were probably looking at yourself more honestly as well, and ready to, I'm thinking about the, you know, the drama triangle you probably work with as well in your work, like stepping out of the victim, not that like I hate that term, but you know what I mean, right? So it's like stepping into that more empowered place when you were ready to, because it, like, I love what you said about shame. I really relate to that as well, of feeling, yes, you're unwell and we do need help and we need support and resources, etc., but there also comes shame with not feeling like you can stand on your own two feet or needing support from family or the state, you know, the pressure to have a career, you know, all this stuff. And we live in a society where it's hard to get a decent paid part-time job. Most of the well-paid jobs are full-time, and all the jobs that are full-time, they're the ones with benefits, you know? So like, sorry, I have loads of thoughts in my head going around now at the moment, but it's just like the system isn't set up to support you. And let me see where I was going with that. Oh yeah, so the shame, that is so at the root of chronic pain, isn't it? Shame.
Oh my God, it is so at the root of chronic pain. I think, I don't know about in other cultures, but in Ireland we do, there is a lot of like, you know, it's kind of, there can be a lot of shame around all different aspects of life, sex,
so much,
women, and guilt. But yeah, I was on a call with my clients a couple of weeks ago, and this team was coming up, this stress that how will I get back to the 9 to 5? How will I ever work the 9 to 5? And this stress. And I was like, oh my God, that very thought process broke me. Like from really early on in life, like literally since I was like 5 years old, I wasn't able to participate in life the like conventional way, like even all the hours in school, you know, I was sick, I couldn't barely go into school, like I missed the majority of my schooling, that terror was in me that I'm not ever going to be able to be a like full participant in life. And not only do you have to be a full participant in life to try and support your basic needs in the current, like, you know, economic status, but you need to kind of be up there in the upper echelons. You can't be missing most of your schooling. You're supposed to be getting 7, you know, straight A's. And so I was terrified. And then I start dragging myself around, like, oh, I'm going to go and work really hard in college and try and educate myself. I was just so trying to build this career and this work life that would get me somewhere, and all the while underneath the terror was that I would never be able to hold down a job, because every time I started a job I'd have to quit, or I wouldn't be able to show up or whatever because of my health. So that very belief, that belief system just broke me. And so when I started to change my story, I started to realize that I was resourceful, I was super smart, I was like caring, I was gifted. I just started to realize these genuine things about myself. And then I decided, and I realized I was really sensitive, and that the way society was set up, it actually didn't really suit me, which was a completely different perspective and attitude to have than like, oh, I'm so broken that I'm never gonna make it, even to meet my basic needs, to like, actually, this setup does not really suit me. I'm really sensitive. I'm really sensitive. I need my time. I need my space. And then I'm going to come out and I'm going to be able to like do all the great things that I can do, even though I'm not entirely 100% sure what they are, but I know they're in there somewhere. And it sounds, I don't know if that sounds like super corny, but it's just was a switch went off in my head. And since then I've been creating a life and a business, which has been really hard, but it's been so, and it's stretched me, it's challenged me in every single direction, but it's been in a really fun and creative way. But I'm creating a life where I can work, and I don't have that. Of course, I have other like fears and anxieties, but I don't have that like, oh my God, will I ever make it to the 9 to 5? Will I ever fit into the conventional structure of what it is to be a decent, contributing, financially worthy being?
Mm-hmm. I love that. There's so much in there. And I have two questions that are going to take us in different directions. So I'll start with one of them, because I'm similar to you in that I have my own business now. So that's interesting, you know, but I'm also wondering, because I have clients too who ask me, and you're saying you've got the same, if they already are in the system and say, for example, it's harder for them to leave a 9 to 5 job for whatever reason, how can we support those people who are having the same fears? Or they might be out, like you say, they might be out on disability or sick leave and they're thinking about going back, but they're really afraid of losing themselves, you know, and going back to chronic pain cycles in the workplace. Yeah, I'm just wondering your thoughts on that, because
I love that. I love that question so much. And like, I just discovered for me as like an extremely highly sensitive person and my makeup that 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 wasn't the life for me. But I have clients who do work in corporate and or that have busy, successful businesses, or they work in corporate. So it doesn't mean that system doesn't work for everyone. But so some of my clients, they come to me and they, because it's always an inside job. So the biology of stress that we were talking about earlier is being, the stress is being caused by your core beliefs and the way you're relating to yourself and the world around you. So if you're burnt out and you're in working like 9 to 5 and you're like, maybe it's my job, maybe it's not, you do the inside job first, because guess what? Maybe it's just the way you're relating to your job and you're relating to yourself and you're relating to the world around you. And when you can start to flip those switches around inside you, I have clients who do this work and heal their bodies, heal their relationship with themselves, the relationship with the world around them, and they, nothing changes on the outside. They're the same partner, same house, same mortgage, same job.
But they feel better.
But they feel better,
yeah,
exactly.
I love that.
Right? But they feel totally better and their relationships are transformed and like da-da-da-da-da. But they have more energy, more time. So you never know. You just don't know until you do the inside job. And then I have other clients where I'm like a few weeks in working with them and they're like, I'm quitting my job, I'm changing this, I'm leaving this relationship. And you're like, wow. Like they just started to do this inside job. They didn't think anything was wrong or whatever, you know. So it really is, it's just an inside job.
Yeah.
People always come to me and they say, you know, maybe I should leave my job, or maybe I should stop eating this, or maybe I should travel, maybe I need to move country. And they have all these things that they think might be at the root of their burnout or their illness or their unhappiness or their marital problems or whatever. But it's an inside job, and you never know. You will never know, because everywhere you go, there you are, right?
Yeah, so I love that Jon Kabat-Zinn quote. Yeah,
exactly. So unless you do the inside job first, then you just don't know. So so does that answer your question?
It does, because I think what happens to a lot of us is that we go through school, we go through university, then we land a job, and we never really pause and reflect and take stock. And that awareness work that you're talking about, that inside job work, we don't get a chance. We don't go to school for that. You know what I mean? So you got to go to someone like yourself to do that work. It's very hard to do alone, as you and I both know. And so you realize, oh, these are certain things that I've been doing unconsciously throughout my life, which has been my journey. I hit burnout. This sounds crazy. Most people are like hit burnout and they're, you know, when they have a career, but I hit burnout when I was about 21. Because I had a really high pressure school, high pressure university, then a super high pressure job. And I was so young, you know, when I got to that place where I had to start doing that inside job work. And I'm so glad I did, you know, I started that work young, but it was so, so difficult because I was so young and so vulnerable, like yourself. But I really like the description of the inside job. And it reminds me of a quote from one of my own mentors, which is, if it is meant to be, it is up to me. Isn't that nice?
Love that. Yeah. I love that. Yeah, because it's usually, oh, if it's meant to be, it will just happen. But
it's up to me. It's like doing the inside work. And so I love the distinction you've made, Ifarain, like you still do the same work with people, but then the outcome will be different, whether they change things in their life or whether they keep things the same. And that makes perfect sense to me as a coach who's doing similar work. It's like, oh yeah, like we're doing the inside work, we're doing nervous system work, maybe hormonal work too, belief, mindset work. And then they realize, oh, this relationship isn't working, or this job isn't working, to the point where they can't do any, like it's out of their control and they have to change something. But with some of my clients, it's a matter of like getting, you know, asking their partners to step up more. It's a big thing I see with women, right? In the home, particularly with children, etc. And, you know, getting better at delegating and letting their partner do things in the way that they do it, as opposed to wanting it done in a very particular way. That's another thing. So these patterns, you know, so yeah, it's so interesting. So then let's take the next route then. I was curious about with for yourself then, is that why you decided to become self-employed? Because you had done this work yourself and you realized you were good at it clearly, and then you started to, so now you're building a business. And I find it interesting that you're saying that that's also been challenging, because I'm in the same boat with that too. So I want to talk to you about that as well. So yeah, is that why you decided to do your own thing?
Totally. Yeah, it is. And it does stretch me. When I the first business coach I ever had, she said, if you want a personal development program, start a business or have a baby.
Oh my God.
And
I love that.
And funnily enough, she was a business coach, but all the things she was talking about were just another variation of the mind body work I did to heal my body, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. It was like stretching your beliefs. Like, it just really crossed over for me. I was like, wow, this is what I've been doing already. So then the next step was like showing up online and starting to do all these things that of course rocked my core beliefs that I'd already been healing my core beliefs to a certain amount. And then it was like, so this journey, this mind body journey of healing, let's say dis-ease in your body. Look, this is just my belief, but I believe it's like you're being called back to your soul, to yourself, to your true self, to your authenticity, because you've been living life through all these different broken beliefs and bad habits that are not your truths, as corny as that sounds, but you're really being called back to heal these core wounds so that you can live more flexibly, more freely, free expression of yourself. So what greater way to challenge your core beliefs than start a business? I was like, I'm Irish, all my coaches are American. They're like, you just go online, make a video, tell them this, sell them this, do that. And I'm like, okay, I'm Irish. I come from a small island where being different is not cool. Da, 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 da. So I start.
Modesty. Like, okay.
So I start posting online and I'm like losing sleep. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to die because my core beliefs are being rocked. And I'm like, oh my God, everyone hates me. I can never go back to Ireland. Like, and then talk about like, you know, having to set boundaries with yourself and like all the things that are such like mainstays, cornerstones of mind body healing your body are like the very things you need to get super good at to run your own business. So for me, I love it because I'm obsessed with this way of healing. So I'm like, wow, I'm being stretched like all over the place. I'm like, what's happening? But I absolutely love it because for me, it's just like more growth and more healing. And like love throwing myself into all of this and like watching all the broken beliefs just burn up, even though in the moment I feel like I'm dying. I'm like, oh my God, this could be it. This could be the end. So it's not for everyone, you know what I mean? It's just not. But I think if you're just like one of these diehard mind body healers, it's in your blood to do it this way.
It's like a calling, isn't it? That's how I feel as well. Yeah, I'm very, you and I were so similar. It's so funny because we haven't met before. So this is gas. But it's so interesting you talk about the business side because I've been kind of a little worried about myself recently in that regard. Because the stuff you and I know about stress and the changes we've made, I feel like sometimes, particularly in a very busy period in my business, and you know the way we go through busy like seasons, like, and I mean like months in the year, but then also busy like phases in the long-term perspective of the business. I'm in quite a busy phase at the moment and it's really good. But it's kind of to the point where I'm like, I think I'm being stretched a little bit more out of my capacity for longer. Because normally if I'm challenged, like you say, if I'm stretched, it's like maybe a few days or a couple of weeks, then I have supervision or I have therapy or I have coaching or I have, you know, I get help somewhere and I figure out the thing or I figure out the block or whatever it is and I get support and then I get that relief. But I feel lately I've been in this season of like feeling stretched for longer than is like healthy. And I'm just sort of trying to think about like, how can I suppose it's a continual thing, isn't it, Aoife? Like, because I don't want to stop my business, obviously, but then the old fears come back up around pain and, you know, and especially if you know what you know about stress, then it's very easy to go into, at least for me it is, to go into self-blame and worrying that I'm going to create problems for myself if I don't look after myself better. You know, it's just, it's very complex. And then being a business owner, and then also, as you know, we're both practitioners, which I see as a very different hat, and business owners, and that's a completely different skill set, which has a whole other element to it. And yeah, it's just sort of figuring out, because I don't think it's as clear when you own a business. It's not like a 9-to-5 where you can just shut the laptop, you do have to have boundaries and self-discipline. And I'm just in this place where I'm like figuring all that stuff out, and the boundaries and are constantly changing as well, you know, so it's not easy.
Totally. I love everything you're sharing, because I've so much to say, my head is spinning. But for instance, one of the YouTube talks that I did with Christy Weepy, she's part of the pain reprocessing therapy crew over there in the States. And she was sharing that when they were first like launching all this pain reprocessing therapy, she was going from LA to New York and somewhere else, and she was flying a lot, and she was like getting all kinds of symptoms because she was so stretched. But she knew. So it's like, and I've gone through this a lot, especially moving to Spain, and there's like periods of time when you are really, really stretched, and you're gonna have kinds of like different symptoms or different things arise from that. You know that it's like short term. And I guess it's the same with the business, because if you're in like I get like these different waves, and then you know, well, if you want to keep continuing to like get that busy, then you might want to restructure the business or like delegate an employee. But the magic is that you know, you're not like Googling, you're not online Googling like what's this weird. You're like, to the magic, it's not that you, this is it, right? Because people always come and they're like, so you never get pain again, so like, when am I gonna have, when am I gonna be symptom free? And I'm like, you kind of like, you're not gonna be like symptom free. You don't want to be totally symptom free, because like
it's your messenger.
It's your messenger to say, like, you know, either there's a core belief that is stopping you from like from growing, or it's a core belief that needs to be, that's calling to you. For instance, my period pain came back when I moved to Spain. And it was actually a core belief. I needed to speak up about a boundary. And it just took the time that it took for me to speak up. And I did it. It was real scary, but I did it. And then my period pain resolved, right? But not once over those months was I in a gynecologist's office. Was I even at the doctor? Was I Googling or anything? I just knew.
Changing your diet, all that stuff.
Wasn't changing my diet. Nuh-uh. I've been living off like crisps, tacky crisps and all kinds of tapas and stuff here. So And then also I knew I was stretched. I was stretching myself as well, but I knew that, and I knew, but I also, I knew that this, that it was short, you know, this, the stretch is real, but these things are going to change because of it. I'm going to get more used to living here. I'm going to make friends. I'm going to start to regulate, you know, living here in Spain. And also I'm going to be going home to Ireland in a couple of months. And so the magic is in the knowledge. And like, you know, Dr. Sarno, who...
Oh, yeah, he does. I have his book, which I haven't read. One of those books you buy and don't read the whole thing. But I've definitely am familiar with his. It's a mind body stuff, medicine stuff, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So he was like one of the founders in the medical world the founding fathers of mind body medicine. But he used to prescribe his patients who were like booked in to have massive surgeries. He would prescribe to them knowledge therapy. Much to their horror, they're like, you know, you have you not seen my x-ray, like my this and that is torn and my thingy mabob is out and the surgeon needs to go and fix it all. And he's like, no, before you go and do any of that, I'm going to prescribe you knowledge therapy. And they would go, all his patients would go in a room and he would just teach them about the nervous system, about the body and the nervous system and it repressed emotions and core beliefs and adverse childhood experiences, and he called it knowledge therapy. And in that room of people, just by listening to this new information, their brain started to rewire and things began to change. So it can seem a bit like magic, like but it's literally new information. So like you and I who are practitioners, we're really, really familiar, really know this information really well. So it just gives you a completely different position to be navigating life.
It's amazing. It's so amazing when you see that happening, like when you see I love that term, knowledge therapy. It really, it's a really good way of explaining, because it's important that cognitive understanding is a really important step in the process, isn't it? Giving people an understanding of their bodies. But yeah, when I'm teaching this stuff, sometimes I could just be teaching a little bit like that, like on the nervous system, and then people start seeing changes in a very short amount of time. They're like, I haven't experienced change so quickly before. And I'm like, yeah, it's so powerful. You know, it really, really is so powerful, this work of the mind-body connection. And I love what you said as well about the reality too, that, you know, you still experience pain. I do too. Both clearly very open about that. But it's the relationship with our pain that's different, isn't it? You know, like when I'm, my story, as my listeners know, is endometriosis, period pain as well. Like to the point where it was like I was having suicidal thoughts. It was so painful and fainting. And that mind-body story for me has very much been about learning to, well, lots of things, like learning to regulate my nervous system. Yes, a little bit of diet work, but also had to unlearn a lot of that stuff because that was really overwhelming. But it's a mindfulness practice too, where I'm being called to meet myself in pain if it arrives and listen to what it has to say and, you know, listen to my intuition. Because sometimes there's a feeling of knowing there's something happening, like you said, a boundary or a relationship issue. There's something troubling me that might not be this. Might not be the period pain itself, but it's underneath the pain. But yeah, and then learning to, another thing I found really interesting on my journey was one time in therapy, my therapist pointed out to me, he was like, yeah, you're good at looking after yourself, but when you're in pain, you struggle to look after yourself when you're in pain. And I realized, oh my God, yeah, like I actually struggle to do self-care when pain is there. I was like numbing out and going into comparison and all these not help, like staying up late and eating more junk food than I normally would, you know, that kind of thing. And I thought that was a really interesting observation, that like I was maybe in a sort of a self-destructive pattern when the pain arose. So learning to be self-compassionate, like if I think about a child who's in pain, how can I treat myself the same way? Which is hard. It can be really hard to do when you weren't like fully raised like that, you know? So it's a lot of unlearning and relearning. And then, yeah, it's that relationship piece that you talked about.
Totally. And it's this combination of like, actually, yes, some symptoms do go. Like I had a lifetime of IBS disappear in 2 weeks.
2 weeks. Amazing.
Learning this information and literally never return. And so some symptoms, like you can, like, why not? Like you can heal them. But other, you don't want to be totally symptom free, like we're sharing, like we're, yeah. it's you're still going to have parts of your body that are going to be your messengers.
Yeah.
But I love what you were sharing about how the self-care and the self-love and the self-compassion, everything goes more out the window when you are in a flare of whatever kind. And of course it does, because the self-worth just goes, you get a drop in self-worth.
Yeah, that's such a good way of putting it, actually, the self-worth. Yeah, because you do feel crap about yourself when you're in that level of pain.
You feel crap and you have to cancel things and whatever, or you're not sleeping and you don't like feel great. But funny the other thing you said, because I always use this tool as well, and you said to think of yourself as a child or a child, you know, and I always use this because I love kids and I worked with kids, so I find it real easy to access the softer parts of me when I think about a child that I know and love. Or I think about myself as a little child. And I was sharing with one of my groups last week that when I moved to Spain, I like gained a bit of weight, and I saw a photo of myself on the beach, and I wanted to go into that like real hard and like self-hatred place, right? Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, you blob, like what? No. But then I always use this tool that you just described about thinking of myself as a child. And I thought of myself, because I knew I wouldn't be able to access this compassion and the soften. When you're in stress, you're all contracted and rigid. So I want to get into a more expansive space. And I have so many photos of me as a chubby little blob as a baby and on the beach, naked, all blobbed out. And So I pull in that picture into my mind, and I'm like, would I sit there in front of like myself or any child and treat that person like that? No, I would not. And so I had to just keep doing that kind of like mind shift with myself. And then it doesn't mean that I didn't still want to change. But it's from a different place. In the past, I would have self-hatred and punished myself into like losing weight or doing whatever, changing myself. But I was able to just come from a much more softer, compassionate place and then decide, you know, what if I did, if even I did want to lose weight or whatever.
Yeah.
So some people probably don't have that connection with kids, but you can use like an animal or like your granny or like whatever in your life, like really just like mush makes you all like mushy and soft. And you'd never, you know, that it's easier to access those softer parts of yourself. And so it's the same with like pain or anything that's coming up in your life, that you go into that real harsh, rigid, contracted, mean place in yourself. And you just want to find ways to soften up. Because I think, you know, in the past, I probably thought if I was nice to myself, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't go to the gym or I wouldn't exercise. You know, it's like you have to, we just learn to like punish ourselves into doing things, like reward and punishment is how we were kind of all raised. But they're both just kind of like, yeah, that coming from those rigid places. So you want to get into that softer, more expansive space, and then you can make choices for yourself.
Yeah, I love that, Aoife. That's so powerful. You've brought me back. I was actually with my little niece yesterday, and she's only 4 months old, and she's exactly at that place where she's like getting chubby cheeks and chubby arms and her eyes are really big. And I was looking at her, and I think a lot about social conditioning of women, obviously, in our work. And I was just looking at her and I was like, oh my God, like, how can we protect this little one from all that crap? You know, I do think we're on the way because people are starting to talk about this a lot more, all that socialization. Because it's like, you and I, did you grow up in the 90s as well in Ireland?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you know, skinny era, do you know what I mean? Like, and lose weight and look this way. And yeah, like, I mean, there's still problems, but there's so much pressure on women in particular. And I think more so now as well, men, in terms of our appearance. And I mean, to be walking around worried about that all the time is a lot of tension to be carrying in the body, right? Yeah. And it's just, it's hard. It's not easy to break out of that, but there is another way to relate to ourselves and how we look and how we show up. And I love how you talk about kindness and finding that inner mother and, you know, just being softer. It does take time though, doesn't it? Because it's just, we're unlearning really ingrained ways of being. And it does, you know, I still struggle with that from time to time, like you said yourself as well. But at least we can catch ourselves before we really spiral for weeks. You know,
totally. And it's a lifelong journey of peeling back like the layers of kinds of different conditioning, you know, our appearances as women especially, like, and the coping mechanisms as a result, you know, too, because we think if we can look a certain way or appear a certain way or whatever, then we'll find a safety. But it's, you never feel safe, obviously, that way. So it's unlearning all of that and slowly, bit by bit, stop nurturing that whole world, nurturing, learning more and more to nurture your own inner world or safety. And when you start to grow that, then like boundaries and all kinds of things just start flowing out of you, because you're having more respect and dignity for yourself. But it's totally a journey. I just last weekend had a big realization about how controlling I am. And like, I was like, oh my God. I went on some group activities. I was like, okay, I got to be more sociable. Go on some group activities here in Majorca. I went for a group hike. And after the hike, I had already signed up to do dinner and drinks afterwards, but I was tired. I wanted to leave. And I couldn't believe how controlling, like, I was just like, the rigidity.
Do you mean of yourself, controlling towards your own energy?
Because I wanted to go. I was like, right, you know, actually the hike is done. It was way longer than I thought it was going to be. Right, I'm all happy. I'm ready to go. And everyone's like, well, we're going for drinks. Then they took ages having their drinks. And they were like, I was like, okay, they probably won't go for dinner. We'll just probably go now. And I'm like telling people I'm tired. And they're like, great, we'll go for dinner now. I was like, and like, I just kept leaning in to like, I just really wanted to control the environment so that I could feel at my optimum. And it was so interesting. Like, at the same time, in the future, I would probably like not sign up to so many add-ons to a group activity. It's like a long time to spend with a bunch of strangers. But the biggest gift in that whole last weekend was all group activities I ended up in. And I couldn't stop laughing because this little controller part of me. You know, we talk about parts, like we have our different parts that these coping mechanisms that develop when we're younger, whenever they developed in order to help us at that time, but they're no longer serving us. And this little controller in me that is still trying to control my environment. Yeah. And back when I was really sick, it was so extreme that I couldn't eat gluten. I couldn't eat sugar. I couldn't, you know, it was so extreme. But last weekend, I really saw that that controller is still in me and is still alive and well. And I just had to give her a bit of, I had to update her to 2023. I'm like, hey,
oh,
girl.
I love that. Yeah. But she was probably also like, it sounds like it was, because that would have been overwhelming for me too, you know, a hike and then other things added on. I would have been the same. I would have wanted the social connection. So that's one part that needed something, but then the other part would be tired and that part would need rest. And those two parts would be in conflict.
Totally. I spent 12 hours with a bunch of strangers.
Oh, did you? It's a really long time. Yeah.
And I'm not a big talker. I'm not like, I like these kinds of talks, so I'm not like super into small talk.
And you're sensitive, you know? And all that. Yeah.
I'm sensitive. I was just like, what was I thinking? Oh my God. Like, but at the end of the day, I got back at like 11 p.m., oh right? Wet hair and everything from the swim. And I just couldn't stop laughing with my housemate. I was like, group activities, I need to have more boundaries with that, right? So I learned. I was like, right, going forward, I definitely will be more mindful of who and what I am and how I want to expend my energy. But in the moment, the contraction and the fear and the panic that was coming up inside me, I want to go now. You know what I mean? What do you mean I have to say? Because I said I'd say, you know, and it was just funny. Yeah, and it was also a real milestone because, you know, 5 years ago, even maybe 4 years ago, I would have come home stressed, sick, like couldn't have done anything the next day. I ended up the next day on another group activity that was a whole other lesson. So I was definitely tired by the end of the weekend, and this weekend just gone, I promised to not do any group activities.
But oh, you're going to have some me time, I imagine. Yeah, like I always say, we come up against we learn our boundaries by rubbing up against them, don't we? Like that's the only way, isn't it, to learn our boundaries. And they're constantly changing and it's confusing work, but and really, like you say, uncomfortable, and the tension comes up, but I suppose that's how we learn it. Oh, Aoife, it's been so good chatting with you. It really has. It's so nice to chat with a kindred soul on this journey and in this work as well, and doing business, which is really cool. So where can people find you? Because I'm sure people will be interested to learn more about your work and other people you're speaking to.
Yeah, so I'm Aoife Mind Body on Instagram. I have a private Facebook group where I post like tips, and all my previous workshops are in there. You can watch them. I have a website. You can book a free health audit call with me. And I do, every few months, I do a free workshop and we can come on there and vibe and you can ask questions. So yeah, Instagram, Facebook, website. Oh yeah, and I have my YouTube channel, which I interview a lot of these scientists and doctors and that have been practicing. One of the doctors, Dr. Dave Clark, he wrote a book on stress illness in 1983.
Oh, I think I listened to that interview you did with him. Yeah. Did you read his book? How did you
just before the interview I did.
Okay. Oh my God.
But yeah, so these dudes have been helping people heal for decades using this work. And they really have the like hard scientific, medical information, so that knowledge therapy aspect is really satisfied, because it's like the people in the white coats and they're it's not so fluffy or whatever. And then me and other people like you and I, we have the lived experience. So
cool.
That combination is
I
think that combination is really great for the information to get in. And there's other people who have written books on that YouTube channel. And so when I first started my journey, that's how I started. I just started listening, the knowledge therapy, right? Listening to podcasts like this, listening to interviews, listening to the doctors. And that's when things really started to change for me.
Me too. Yeah. Amazing, Aoife. Thank you so much. I'm really looking forward to, because I'm going to be joining her over on YouTube in a few weeks. But yeah, really, really great to connect with you. And I'll make sure I'll link all of the resources that Aoife has just mentioned in the show notes. So that's it for today. Thanks so much for being on the Pain to Power podcast with me and for tuning in to the listeners. Have a lovely rest of your week. Mind yourselves. And I will see you soon. Thank you for joining today's conversation. This community, these topics, and the stories I share are not possible without all of you being part of the journey. If you are interested in getting more support for your own personal process, head on over to my website, lisadeyoungcoaching.com, to book a consultation call with me. Or you can sign up for a free course there as well. And as always, please like, subscribe, and share this podcast with your friends. Lots of love for the week, and see you next time.